Hallelujah. 1 Corinthians 12, verse 1. What the Spirit does. Now, as our culture is, as a church, at times of the year, we have meetings around the things of, and that pertains to the Holy Ghost. If you've been a member of this church, you know that we are a Word church, and we're a Holy Ghost church. And I'm grateful to God for the leadership, the mentorship, the fatherhood that a man like Brother Hagin, Kenneth E. Hagin, gave to us, and to understand the place of the teaching of the Word, and the manifestations, as he calls it, the demonstrations, the flow of the Spirit. So we have times like that where we emphasize the moving of the Spirit. And not just in today's service, during the midweek, the different meetings, the next week, multiple services, and towards the camp meeting and afterwards. Now, as believers, there are things that we must know. As a believer, you must know certain things. There are things you have to know. And I mentioned this in the earlier service, that if one is not careful, you just think Christianity is just a sociological group. Guys that dress alike, talk alike, go to the same place every Sunday, read the same book, which is fine. But beyond that is the fact that we are supernaturally linked. We are supernaturally linked. Where we gel, let me put it that way. You know the word gel? It's not a proper word, though. Where we really gel is in the Spirit. John 3:3, a man asked Jesus, he said, thou art a teacher called from God, for no man, or he said this, no man doeth these things except God with him. Jesus now said to him in verse 3, John 3:3, very popular verse, very, verily I say unto you, except a man is born again, he cannot see the kingdom of God. Now, notice the word born again. You can't see the kingdom of God. Was Jesus just talking about a change of behavior? Change of behavior happens, but that's not what he's referring to. In verse 4, the man now asks, can a man, when he's old, enter into his mother's womb and be born a second time? Jesus now answered him again in verse 5, verily, verily, I say unto thee, except a man is born of water and the Spirit. Now, if you have been studying with us, just a quick one, you notice that we have identified why the use of water comes up. Genesis 1:2. There was darkness upon the face of the deep. The Spirit of God moved over the face of the waters. And we've explained the waters of Genesis 1, the waters of Genesis 2, and the waters of the Old Testament. So it's about God, you know, by His Spirit, giving life to us out of chaos. We've studied that before. So when you said about the word water, that is the Spirit. He cannot enter into the kingdom of God. For that which is born of the flesh, verse 6, is flesh. That which is born of the Spirit is spirit. Verse 7 says, marvel not that I say you must be born again. Then in verse 8 it says, the wind bloweth where it listeth. You can hear the sound, but you can't tell where it's coming from or where it's going to. So it's everyone that is born of the Spirit. Say, I'm born of the Spirit. So which means that what links us together is a supernatural fact. What makes this church is not the fact that we are all dressed the way we are dressed or where we are meeting. We could change this place right now and have a party. And it's be the same place. We could decide to have another thing to discuss here. So it's not because we are all here that it's called church. It's not because we are dressed the way we are, that's why it's church. What makes this church is that the Spirit of God dwells with us. 1 Corinthians 3:16, Paul says, know ye not that you are the temple of God? 17 says, and that the Spirit of God dwells in you. So why we are the church is because the Holy Ghost is here. In Matthew 18:20, Jesus said, where two or three are gathered together in my name, there I am in the midst of them. There I am. Where two or three, there I am in the midst of them. So what really makes this church is the Holy Ghost. Did you hear that? What makes this church is not the music. It's not the seats. It's not anything we do but the Holy Ghost, who now inspires the music, inspires the preaching, the teaching, the actions, the conduct, and all we do. So, which means that it is an area of the Christian faith that you cannot be ignorant about is about the flow of the Holy Ghost, the gifts of the Holy Ghost. You can't be ignorant of such things. You can't be. And I was sharing that story earlier on about when I went to a country in Southern Africa. And I found out, you must have heard this story. I've told this story for many years. Not many years, maybe 20 years. And I said that, you know, the funny thing was, these are committed Christians. Good guys. They'll be in church every Sunday, every Wednesday. They'll be there and they dress like people going to heaven. You know, they wore the heavenly suit. You know, there's a space suit, there's heavenly suit. Oh, I'll tell you about that someday. So they wore that, they sang the hymns. And I asked the pastor, what do you teach about the Holy Ghost? You know, Paul asked that same thing in Acts 19:2. He saw some certain disciples. You know, a disciple is a good word. He saw them. He said, have you received the Holy Ghost since you believe? And he said, we've not heard whether there be any Holy Ghost. What were they doing in church? And they were meeting every day. On the last day, holy to believers. You know, and they didn't know who the Holy Ghost was. What were you doing in Christianity? And they'll be saying something you don't understand. Just like a man that I engaged. He used to preach holiness. So I said, what is holiness? He couldn't define it. What is holiness? He said, holiness now. What is holiness? Holiness is the state of heart when a man is pure and then where is that? So you can find Christians, they don't know the Holy Ghost. And I said to them, I said, what do you know about the Holy Ghost? He said, well, the baptism of the Holy Ghost, being filled with the Spirit, that they take this class, that class, sanctification class, baptismal class. Eh? So that's what they do. And he was so happy when he was saying it. And I was going to say, that's great. I didn't tell him what was great. I kept saying, your unbelief is really great. But if I said that, I won't preach in the evening. So I came back in the evening and preached. And as I began to speak, I was showing them in the Word of God that there is no such qualification. That the Holy Ghost was given to sinners. That the only qualification is to be a sinner. If you think being born again doesn't qualify, please go back into your sins. So that you can be qualified. I didn't say that there. The man would have stopped me immediately. You know. You know. And when I was done, you could literally see, you know, when light shines, you could see it like, they looked at, So I said, if you want to be filled with the Holy Ghost, with the evidence of speaking in tongues, I said, sure. I knew from, because you know, I was backing the pastors and the leaders, I could feel the heat. That they were like, you know, when you know that they are talking to each other, I faced the Lord at the congregation. So I said, if you want to be filled with the Holy Ghost, you come out. So hundreds of them came. I'm sure the man felt that because they were hundreds, I won't be able to lay hands on them. I laughed. So I called my friend Matthew. I said, let's lay hands on this guy. I said, yeah, you ready? He said, let's go, prof. So he watched us lay hands. So we're laying hands. You find people just spoke in other tongues. Some of them, I mean, the joy. Others, anger was involved. The aggressor. So he was speaking tongues, and the tongues were all capital letters. He said, he spoke in tongues. Some of them now walked past the bishop, and they were going, I knew I was in trouble, that was my last day speaking there. That was the truth. I didn't speak there again. You know. But I've done my job anyway. So, you didn't have people like that that eager. I remember three years, in Ugbomosho, we were having a meeting. It was a denominational church. We had a vigil. And, you know, five of us or so? So my friend did the speaking. He's not around anymore. So he did the speaking. And we now noticed that your place was very dry. You know, you will always know. Because you can't be in the Spirit and not be zealous. No. When you see people say, well, they think their maturity is calmness. It's not true. They backslid. I'm mature. It's not true. You backslid. You have become caricature, not mature. If you are full of the Spirit, there'll be zeal. There'll be fire. Hallelujah. You can't be full of the Spirit and you are praying like this. Level. Level. Lego. Lager. It is he that whispers in tongues, he that speaks. No! You pray in the Holy Ghost! Hallelujah! Because in Acts 2, 1 to 4, he said tongues of fire. Hallelujah! When you see fire, you know fire. You know there's torchlight, there's fire. Some people have torchlights. They have become modernized Holy Ghost. Mobra. He said, rejoice, he said, say laugh in the spirit, say. It's not smile, it's laugh. That's modernized Holy Ghost. It's not the Holy Ghost of the Bible. Praise the Lord. So my dear friend said, let's talk about the moving of the Spirit. And he's quite a skillful guy, you know. Remember one time we had a competition on who to get people feel the Holy Ghost fastest. I used to have, I think my own was 1 minute. Now I wasn't that good. He did 5 seconds. From the time, I think Brother Tokes broke it to 3 seconds. I think Brother Tokes is the one that had the record. So he was just, the guy was eating a bar. From the point he said, are you ready to be there? Yes. He said, so, and the guy started talking in tongues. Me, I will explain. I don't know, somewhere in my mind, I wasn't sure. No, it's wrong, really. But Brother Tokes was there, 3 seconds. So that day he began to share. And I learned quite a number of things from him about the Holy Ghost. Name it Tunji Ogule, quite a great man of God. So as he began to speak, they came out, and they were Yoruba speaking. So they began to speak in other tongues. Literally, you will see that the atmosphere just changed. If I one woman, that was the first time she spoke in tongues, immediately she gave the interpretation, I gave a prophecy and a word of knowledge. So the whole place just was charged. If I when we're done, we ministered to the sick, got a lot of miracles by the power of God's Spirit. So, I mean, it was about 3 a.m. or 4 a.m. in the morning, the pastor now came to us. He said, this one, I've never had this kind of meeting. I said, yeah, that's good. This meeting is so blessed. I said, please, there's one more thing you have not done. Say what? They don't give. He said, if they hear it from you, he said tight actually. He said, if they hear this tight from you, they hear this thing from you. He said, for what you have done tonight, they will give. I just thought to my friend, you are the one that preached. So he began, he spoke and they really gave. I was not me. So don't quote me anyway. So, but the thing is, you will see literally. When you see a Christian not full of the Holy Ghost, you just be talking logic. Logic. Now let's face it. Let's face reality. Let's be sensible. He's not full of the Spirit. Because the Holy Ghost gives us supernatural abilities. Supernatural information. So there are things you should know as a believer. 1 Corinthians 12:1. Are you in church? 1 Corinthians 12:1. Now, concerning spiritual gifts, brethren, I would not have you ignorant. So I'm not ignorant? Or spiritual gifts? That's all I asked. I said, give me an example of the things of the Spirit. He said, unkubus and sukubus. I said, eh? It's a thing of the Spirit. It's a spirit of vital fear. Hey, enough! You could know what the person is hearing. You know, hearing really rubbish. I would not have either. I said earlier in the service, the early morning service, I said, there are different kinds of meetings, for example. There are different kinds of meetings. There's a prayer meeting. In a prayer meeting, we pray. It's not in a prayer meeting, you sing, good morning, Jesus. No, it's not a concert. You pray. In a prayer meeting, you pray for believers, Ephesians 6:18. You pray for ministers, Ephesians 6:19. 1 Timothy 2:1, you pray for all men, for those in authority. In a prayer meeting, you pray that the Lord of the harvest will send forth laborers. Matthew 9:38. That's the prayer meeting. You pray the Pauline prayers. Ephesians 1:16-22 prayer. Ephesians 3:14-20 prayer or 21. You pray the Colossians 1:9-11 prayer. That's a prayer meeting. We have biblical prayer points. We also have prayer points meeting the needs of believers. Believers have needs, we pray for them. That's a prayer meeting. In a prayer meeting, the major thing we do is pray. It's not in a prayer meeting, you'll be sharing the word of God. And you say, brethren, let us pray. Then you take 10 minutes to explain prayer points. Then we pray for 20 minutes. Then you, another prayer point, another 10 minutes. Just say you want to do Bible study. That's not a prayer meeting. In a prayer meeting, the major thing we do, we lift up our voice in one accord, Acts 4:24, and we pray. Second kind of meeting, a teaching meeting. What do I call it? A teaching meeting. In a teaching meeting, you explain a biblical issue, a biblical concept, a biblical doctrine. Like Luke 24, verse 25 to 27, when Jesus taught from the law of Moses, the prophet, and the Psalms, verse 44, 45. You teach, you explain. You take a biblical subject and you explain. Is what is called exegesis, hermeneutic. You explain, you interpret scripture. And usually, I must mention this, the teaching service is a primary meeting. Most Sunday services are teaching services. So you have teaching meetings. The third kind of meeting is an evangelistic meeting. Now in Mark 16:15, it says, go into all the world and preach the gospel to every creature. In Luke 24:47, repentance and remission of sins should be preached in his name among all nations. What's an evangelistic meeting? Now pay attention to what I'm about to say. Jesus said a meeting is between how many people? Two or three. So when you go on evangelism and you meet someone on the road and he's buying boli. Boli is the Greek word for for transformed plantain. And you say, can I talk to you? As you begin to talk about Jesus, that is a meeting. That is that two or three. And when you are like that, he's there. So that is an evangelistic meeting. Where you go, you have conversations, you initiate discussions that lead to preaching about Jesus. That's the third kind of meeting. The fourth kind of meeting is a healing meeting, where you go to pray for the sick. Remember, in John's Gospel, chapter 11, they came to tell Jesus that Lazarus was sick, which means they wanted him to go to Lazarus to pray for him. If he had gone to Lazarus' house to pray for him before he died, that is a healing meeting. In Matthew 8, when the centurion asked him to pray for his servant, if he had gone to his servant's house, the guy's house, to pray for his servant, that's a healing meeting. Now, of course, in Mark 5, when Jesus was going to the house of Jairus as well, he eventually got to the house of Jairus because the daughter was sick and they got and died, that is a kind of healing meeting. When he went to Peter's mother's in-law's house, or his house, Matthew 8, from verse 13, 14, and 15, and he prayed for her. She had fever, and it left her. That is a healing meeting. In a healing meeting, people will tell you, I'm sick, you go to them, you pray for them. Anytime you meet people to pray for them, to minister to their sickness and diseases, that is a healing meeting. Of course, believers too can be prayed for. James 5:13. Is there any sick among you? Alright. Is there any merry, let him sing psalms? Is there any afflicted, let him pray? Is there any sick among you? Let him call for the elders of the church. Let them pray for him, anointing him with oil in the name of the Lord, and the prayer of faith will save the sick. So you can go to people, fellow believers, and pray for them. That's 2 minutes, 3 minutes you pray with them is a healing meeting. Who's following this? All right. So we have the healing meeting. Number one, we have what? Number two? Number three? Number four? Now, we have a fifth one, a workers meeting. Call it a minister's meeting. Now, you notice that in the ministry of Jesus, there are meetings where he excludes those who are listening to him. He will talk to the multitude, then he will separate those who are his disciples and talk to them. Now, amongst the disciples, he will now separate another 70. Let's even say 120. Then another 70. Amongst the 70, or after the 70, he had another 12. Then aside the 12, he had the 3. After the 3, he had 1. So each meeting was determined by the responsibility he gave them. A workers' meeting, for example, is a privileged meeting. It's not an open meeting. I'm surprised sometimes some churches will hold workers' meetings, and the workers will post what was discussed on social media. There's just something wrong with this generation that puts everything on social media. It's actually insanity. Something really wrong. This is not for the public. There are things that Jesus will say to no man. He will charge them to tell no man. I guess somebody in Jesus will say, Jesus, I'm sorry, I don't understand why. No. That's witchcraft now. That's cultists. What do you want to say that the world cannot hear? And Jesus, you have to be Christian, you. You have to be Christ-like. You know, there will be guys who say that, but who will say something like that. But there are things that are for certain people. In Acts 15, when there was a conversation over doctrine, the Gentiles and the Jews, they called the apostles and the elders. In Acts 13, the church of Antioch, prophets and teachers. So you always find a selected number. Acts 20:17, Paul called for the elders of the church at Ephesus. 1 Timothy and 2 Timothy and Titus were written to pastors. If you read 1st, 2nd Timothy and Titus without being a pastor, a Christian leader, or somebody aspiring to be, you will always misinterpret it. It has to do with an exclusive person or persons. We have workers' meetings. That's number what? Number five. So what's the first one? The second one? The third one? The fourth one? The fifth one? Now there's a sixth one that is the believers or Holy Ghost meetings. Believers and Holy Ghost meetings. Now the unique thing about that one is that first and foremost, of course, the word of God is preached by the inspiration of the moment. That is, there is no particular subject. When I was coming here this morning, I just put the subject out on Facebook yesterday. There was nothing, I wasn't going to study anything. I was just going to come as I'm led by the Spirit of God. Whatever God's Spirit emphasizes on my heart is what I'm going to preach. It's going to be the word of God, but it's going to be by inspiration. That's not what I would do in a normal Sunday. A normal Sunday, I'll have prepared what I'm going to teach over the weeks and start teaching it in series. But in a Holy Ghost meeting, I speak as I'm led. A subject will just come up my heart and I'll share it. So, it's preached. Now, but the key thing about the Holy Ghost meeting is that the Spirit of God is giving room to demonstrate Himself. There will be demonstrations of the gifts of the Spirit. Now, usually, I mentioned this in the first service. I have this conscience. Somebody told me that, well, that I don't make a distinction between believers' meetings and Holy Ghost meetings. Now, in the 90s, when I teach this, I often say believers' meetings, all believers will minister together. Then I will now say the Holy Ghost meeting is where the ministry gifts, the apostle, prophet, evangelist, pastor, teacher, will now minister or they will lead. Now, I've since changed that, right? That now, looking at the theology of the New Testament and of course the Old, God actually has called everybody into the ministry. That's the plain truth. Ephesians 4:11 is not for a select few. 1 Corinthians 12:28 is not for a select few. So it will be contradictory for me to separate the Holy Ghost and believers, knowing fully well that the theology that I subscribe to, which is the Bible, is that the ministry gifts are with and for all believers. So therefore, I will call it a Holy Ghost meeting or a believers meeting. Which means that when we say it's the ministry gift, we're talking to believers. When we say believers, we're talking to the ministry gifts. Are you following what I'm saying here? So what is a believers meeting? Is when all the believers are functioning in the gifts of the Spirit to minister to one another and then to the world. All the believers are functioning in the gifts of the Spirit. And you see, that is God's mind. That's God's intention. Joel 2:28. I'll pour out of my Spirit upon all flesh. Your sons and daughters shall prophesy. So it says upon all flesh. Upon all flesh. So when we walk in that fact, in that truth, we will have believers meetings. Where all believers are functioning in the things of the Spirit. Look at the day of Pentecost. In Luke 24:49. Jesus told them, he said, behold, I send the promise of my Father upon you. Luke 24:49. But tarry in the city of Jerusalem, that will be endued with power from on high. Now in Acts 1:8, he said, you shall receive power. After which the Holy Ghost is come on you, you shall be witness unto me in Judea, Samaria, to the uttermost part of the earth. The truth of the matter is this. You see, people have oftentimes not known that what Jesus was doing in Acts 2:1-4, basically that instruction, was to let us see that the primary ministry of the believers, all of us, is to function in the baptism with the Holy Ghost, or let's say, all the gifts of the Spirit. That's the mind of God. That's the mind of God. So in Acts 2:1-4, when the day of Pentecost was fully come, notice it, they were all, can I say all? Let's take it again. Acts 2:1-4. Now when the day of Pentecost was fully come, they were all, can I say all? What's all? Everybody. What all? Everybody. Amen. So if you are here, for example, if today was that day, that means all of us. Right? If we're in the new convert, those who have been born again since the day of Pentecost, no difference. They were all in one accord in one place. All. Verse 2. And suddenly, there came a sound from heaven. As a rushing mighty wind. What happened again? The house where they were seated. Verse 3. And there appeared unto them. And it sat upon each. So I say each. So there should be a meeting where we are all functioning in the same capacity. They appeared unto them, cloven tongues of fire, and it sat upon each. So I say each. So if I say something in this way, I say, each of us had something. That means everyone, including the last person at the door, right? Each of us sat upon each of them. Say today. Say today. The Holy Ghost flows through all of us. Amen. Let's hold on a bit. Is there anyone here? It's very possible, maybe a first timer. You are yet to be filled with the Holy Ghost, with the evidence of speaking in other tongues. Raise your hand. You are yet to speak in other tongues. You are yet to be filled with the Holy Ghost, with the evidence of speaking in other tongues. Raise your hand. Anyone? There's always a first time. I had a first time. Okay, that's one. Who else? Alright. Now, there should be somebody. Who's around the person that can get him filled with the Holy Ghost? Can you? Help him out. Don't look at them. That's the point. You see, when it comes to the things of the Spirit, don't be a spectator. The only reason why you should watch anybody is so that you will do what they are doing. That's the only reason. That's the only reason why you should look at anyone is so that you will watch what they are doing and reproduce it. Do you know why you can reproduce it? Now, people have told me things like this. Some people who speak in tongues, somebody will now copy them. Let me tell you something. No matter what a believer says, no matter how it sounds, it's the Holy Ghost. The more you feel is not of God, it is of God. Once somebody is speaking in tongues, the more you think is not of God, that is the more it is of God. Oh, they say, I'm afraid though. They say because there's something called satanic tongues. How did the person know? Does he work for Satan? How do you know satanic tongues? How does it sound? Ra, ra, ra. Oh. Nonsense. The moment you are the one saying it, it's no longer satanic. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. So say we all. So say we all.
We all.
Say today.
Today.
We all.
Function
in the things of the Spirit. You have to know the things of the Spirit. You have to. You have to. They say, as a believer, what have you learned? Say, hard work. Hard work. You need to go to church to learn hard work. As a believer, what have you learned? I've learned how to buckle my shoe. You went to church, that's what you learned. What have you learned? I've learned resilience. As a believer, what have you learned? I've learned that once you have hope, it's okay. What about, do you know about, ask someone, I said, okay, I think I just said, do you know about the things of the Spirit? He said, yes. Say what? He said, unkubus and sukubus. Ah. She just keep quiet there. Asmodeus. Bacchus. The spirit of, mami water. That's the things of the Spirit. You know? That's not a good one for a believer. You should know the things of the Holy Ghost. When you hear things like falling under the power, You should understand it. It's from the Old and New Testament. Rejoicing. Final power, when hands are laid on people or there is a demonstration of the Holy Ghost and people just fall. You should know it. You should, when you see it, you recognize it. Oh, when you talk about rejoicing, someone just gets up and he jumps and he runs. So, and you say, ah, what is that? I'll know the kind of church you attend. Because that action is all over the Bible. It's all over the Bible. In fact, the writers were too emphatic on rejoicing that when John, talking about the book of Revelation, no, Revelation is supposed to be a vision, right? When he wrote the book of Revelation, he now spoke about the marriage supper of the Lamb. And you know what he wrote about there? He also spoke about rejoicing. Agalio. Agalio is when, you know, what we know most of the time, is when people are in praise worship, someone calls it crazy and torture. And they are beating down. But you see, you don't find that, that kind of worship in the Bible. It's not in the Bible.
Give the Lord a song.
Who are sweating? So they now come from the world and say, Yahoo! In church. You know, God is just loving. But when you look at Jesus, you will see that when Jesus was going to praise actively, he jumped. There was no music playing. He ran. He leaped. Hallelujah. And I know he raised a laugh. Glory to God. He twirled the reckless abandon. Sit down. And ensure that this is not just for church. Do it at home. Do it on the road. Amen. Hallelujah. Jesus did it. The apostles did it. Paul did it. The churches did it. And you see, that's the Holy Ghost kind of worship. Amen. Okay. So you should know those kind of things. You should know things like that. The things of the Spirit. Demonstrations. When you find, you know, demonstrations of the Holy Ghost. There could be a demonstration of the Holy Ghost where someone just is quiet. Here there was a, of the Holy Ghost in the scriptures where the prophet said that his tongue cut to the root of his mouth and he just kept quiet. There could be a demonstration of the Holy Ghost where you can't just see, not that you're blind. There are just demonstrations of the Holy Ghost that you should know. There are the Holy Ghost where a man just stuck on the seat and he's just glued there. Amen. You should know things like that and not just hear about it. Experience it. Say, I experience the things of God. You see, those things, they bring vitality to the Christian life. You can't just be reading Bible, and there's no experience of the supernatural. Nothing. You see? So you should know those things. That when the Spirit of God is moving, you recognize it. You can see it. You know what it is. You know what it is. You know what? Things we'll get to an emphasis in a moment. You know what it is. You don't start criticizing because you are just daft. So you know, when you criticize things you don't know, you are just daft. Yeah? Have you ever heard somebody argue so much what he doesn't know? And you just be looking. Person will talk and say, are you done? You were wrong from the first statement. So there are things of the Holy Ghost. Manifestations, demonstrations of the Holy Ghost. And, you know, they bring vitality. Sometimes when you leave meetings like that, your prayer life is re-energized. You didn't hear about prayer. Nobody taught you about prayer. Nobody mentioned about prayer. But you just feel like praying. Who has had that kind of experience before? You just want to go and preach the gospel. You just want to. There's something that's just stirred in you. That is the essence of Holy Ghost meetings. A Holy Ghost meeting will do something that a teaching meeting will not do in 9 months. In 10 minutes. Now, you will need a teaching meeting to now explain it and sustain it. But, just like the book of Acts, what happened to those guys in Acts 2? I'm pretty sure by the time you read the book of Acts, you see that they gradually explained it. But you see, I'd rather have the experience and explain it than explain something I don't have the experience. You don't be talking theory. Tongue is the word glossolalia. Glossa is from languages. Lalia is to speak. Lale, 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 Dalia. And someone say, this must be a Chelsea fan because they are always on one spot. Ten. Dossi number eight. Chelsea will enter any meeting, even in utterance. Say, the Lord of hosts. You know, say, talk about prayer. Someone say, somebody spoke about prayer one day. Say, prayer is the energizer. When it was done, they now didn't pray. If prayer was that important, why didn't you pray? Prayer is that outflow of the fellowship that stays within the realms of the union we have with deity, such that the life and the verities of the glory will begin to exist. Okay, when you are done, can we pray? Someone was talking about burdens and prayer. When he was done teaching burdens and prayer, everybody just felt cool. The first time I shared burdens and prayer was 94. I came back from A.N. Corey, one intercessors congress of Rema Chapel. The guys I saw, within 20 minutes, I just shared my experience. Everybody was on the floor praying. So I said, burdens, the word burden is bodimazino. The word prayer, oh God, I'd rather have somebody who doesn't know all this that is praying. But you know, it's good to know and experience. Hallelujah. So these things will bring vitality to the Christian walk. How many of you have ever laid hands on someone who was sick and the person got healed? Raise your hand. How did you feel? You liked it. It did something to you that you seen it. Do you understand? You understand it. Someone was trying to explain to me that healing has passed. It went on and over 2006. I said, you know the problem here? He said, what? I've healed the sick before. And I've been healed before. So there's no way you can make sense. I said, I can actually debunk what you are saying, but it's a waste of time. I have been healed before. And I've healed the sick before. Is it me you are not explaining to? You can't take away my reality. Something I've seen. I've seen it now. But I'm just saying that based on the, take your base away, I beg. I say, I've seen something. You're asking me. I've seen it. Do you understand? So what about those experiences? What about visions? It stirs your life. Those encounters, they are encounters with the supernatural that bring vitality to your Christian walk. To your Christian work. You know, I'll share something in one of the meetings recently. Now, I have this song, this instrumentals I play whenever I'm having a Zoom class. Whether I'm a Zoom class, a Zoom session. Now, there was a particular day. That day, it wasn't coincidental. I wanted to start talking about angels and the supernatural. As I started to talk about it, the background song was, "We Are Standing." I knew God was like, go on now, I like this. That's all. Those are experiences you should get used to. Amen. Say, I go for experiences. Supernatural experiences. Hallelujah. Because all the gifts of the Spirit are experiences. 1 Corinthians 12, verse 4. Paul says, now, there are diversities. I said in the first service, diversity. I go for diversities. Some of us is just one way track we have when it comes to the things of God. Just one way. Just speak in tongues and thank God. Or you just interpret. And the interpretation is just, Lord, I thank you. Your glory fills the earth. Your glory fills the earth. Glory, glory. There should be more. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Stir up the gift of God. Amen. Amen. So I said diversity. Verse 5 says there are diversities of ministries for the same Lord. Verse 6, 1 Corinthians 12, there are diversities of operations, the same God that worketh all in all. But, verse 7, the manifestation. Hallelujah. I love that word manifestation. You know what it is? It's a one-time word. It means that everything has been given. You don't have manifestation in the plural because you can't have two manifestations. Manifestation means to empty something, to be naked, to everything is out. Aren't we glad that everything is out for us? Everything in the Holy Ghost has been given. The manifestation of the Spirit is given to every man to profit with all. Say, I have. And I receive. the manifestation, the manifestation of the Holy Ghost. Hallelujah. I have and receive. I have and receive the manifestation of the Holy Ghost. Amen. So Paul mentions 9 of them. A man like Kenneth He Hagin, he's been with the Lord now, but a man who has been father, mentor, leader, teacher, who has taught us virtually everything we know today about the things of the Spirit. He classified them alongside with a man called Howard Carter of the Assemblies of God Missions and F.F. Bosworth. They classified the 9 into 3 groups. They said the first group, they are called the utterance gifts. What are utterance gifts? Utterance gifts are tongues, interpretation of tongues and prophecy. Why? Because the 3 of them are primarily speaking gifts. Some say speaking gifts. Tongues is a speaking gift. Interpretation of tongues is a speaking gift. Prophecy is a speaking gift. So that's the first group. There's a second group also, the revelation gifts. I'll come back to that. The revelation gifts. The revelation gifts include the word of wisdom, the word of knowledge, and the discerning of spirits. The word of wisdom, the word of knowledge, and the discerning of spirits. What is primary about them? They show something. They show something. They show something. The third group are the power gifts. What is about the power gifts? The power gifts, they will do something. There is an action taking place. More precisely, an action in nature. The power gift. The power gifts will be the gifts of healings, the workings of miracles, and the gift of faith. Now, for the purpose of today, and this week, and the week to come, what is laid on my heart to share with you, Saints Community Church, and to focus on are the revelation gifts. You know, it's an area God wants us to master. Say, I master. The revelation gifts. Say, in this period, I become an expert regularly in the revelation gifts. Which means that, you know, you will know how to receive the word of knowledge very well. And the word of wisdom, the discerning of spirits. For many of us, the reason why we don't walk in the things of the Spirit is doubt. We doubt. The very first time that I walked in the gifts of the Spirit, I even knew what it was. It was a secondary school mate that just told me, said, you know, that is word of knowledge. I said, I didn't even know what it was. He said, that's what I said, I didn't know what it is. I didn't even know about it. And I walked in it. So, sometimes you doubt. You're just doubting. I mentioned some things in the first service. I won't go over there. I'll just go over them briefly. So the first reason why a man who walk in the things of the Spirit is ignorance. You don't know. You just don't know. You are ignorant. Second one, which I said, you know, is condemnation. You feel, God can. You know, some folks are funny. Now, there's nothing wrong in being remorseful. But somebody will maybe commit a sin, you know, and something bad. Not something public, private. And the person will not want to come. So why? I say, I can't come to service. Something happened. What did happen? The person will now tell you what he or she did. You know, that's really the devil. There is no better time to come than that period. That's the devil. It's the devil that tells you that you should not pray because you have sinned. When you are listening to the Holy Ghost, when you sin, the first thing he tells you is to pray. So it's the devil is the one that shuts you out. He shuts your mouth. He tells you, no, you are not worthy. No, you should not do it. No, you can't be the one to preach. You care. You know, you can't be the one to preach. Oh, do you know this? He's the accuser of the brethren. Though, I think he has some staff in the body of Christ. He has some brethren that does what they do for a living. You know, there was one guy I told on Facebook. I said, I've watched what you have written for 1 year. You've never written anything positive about the body of Christ. Everything is negative. Is that all you see? Saying, no, I'm just being factual. I said, no, you are just being devilish. You are an accuser of the brethren. And then some guys are like that. They are never smiling. Is that not holiness? Not smiling, I mean, it's not holiness. Don't think that spirituality is when you frank your face. You know there's franking your face. The Bible says it's a wicked man that hardens his face. You are not going to any heaven, you are going to hell. That's not holiness. Holiness is not franking your face. Holiness is rejoicing. Amen. Holiness is to be full of joy. Sit down. That's holiness. Holiness. On the last day. What about the first day? That's not holy. So, and condemnation will bring doubt. Doubt. You begin to doubt. You begin to doubt. You know, somebody told me, he started a fellowship, the fellowship closed down. Say, another one closed down. Now, say, house fellowship for the church, it closed down. So he now told me, he said, I don't think God has called me. I said, you are walking in condemnation. See, if I share my own story with you, you will feel like, no, you are the one that God has not called. I said, no, you just entered into condemnation. And you know something, man. Something I know about God, and I know from the word of God, it's not like my personal experience alone. See, God doesn't look for faults. Let me tell you that. Because He is not expecting you to do things perfectly. Any perfection you have, He is the one that is working in you. So don't think that. So when you now fall, you now say, can you see your life? He's not a human God. God will not tell, the Holy Ghost will not tell you, Shebi, I told you. I was waiting for you to fail. Holy Ghost. Devil is working in you. God is not, from the very conception of mankind in the new creation, He gave us a help. You don't give somebody a help if you think he can handle himself. So don't get to that point where you are now trying to, now yes, we walk with the Lord unto all pleasing by the power of His Spirit. If I asked something that Womack said one day, and that thing really blessed me. He said, while it is true that, you know, God will reward us when we do right, he said, really, and there's a way he pictured it that I love. He said, when God gives you a crown, let's call it the last day, the judgment, the whatever, be mercy. He gives you a crown. He said, you will now return it to Him. Because He's the one that made you fit to have that crown. So at the end of the day, every glory will go to Him. Hallelujah. Even when we please Him, He's the one working in us. So never get to a point where you think, God cannot use me. God, someone said, God cannot use me. God, I say, come and shut up your mouth. No, God cannot use you. Who does God use? God doesn't use anybody that is perfect. The moment you are perfect, He won't use you. There are things that God will never use. When you are very intelligent, you are very smart, He won't use you. Very smart, you know your way around it. That's the end. You are so morally upright, He won't use you. Of course, He will walk in you to be morally upright, but He won't use you. The very first things He used in scripture was chaos. And this is you go into chaos. So. You get it? But that's it. So don't allow condemnation. Say, there is therefore now no condemnation for me in Christ Jesus. I am not in the flesh. I am in the Spirit. Because the law of the Spirit of life in Christ Jesus is working in me. I have the Spirit of the Son. Amen. Hallelujah. So condemnation will bring doubt. Now, you know, we should be full of prayer. Pray always. 1 Thessalonians 5:17. Pray without ceasing. But you know, you can be so funny that you will now think that it is the prayer that makes you fit. No. No. I've seen God do something for me privately. He will just wait and use me in a time where I'm least prepared. It's to just show you that it's by grace. Don't say, someone say, there's this guy near my house, he's possessed. Our fasting is starting on Monday. Give me till Thursday. By the fourth day, I will have been ready. The way you, I eat 6 times a day. Both spiritually and naturally, I have weight. But by Thursday, I'll have chopped something. Don't be like that. Amen. Sometimes you feel like maybe something bad had happened and then someone calls you. You know, and you feel you are not fit. You think that, you know, it's a bad day. One day I was coming from, I was trying to get into Ife then. So something funny happens. You know, I was crossing one university, to be fair. So something very funny. I've shared that story with some of you before. I mean, many of you leaders. So as I was coming back, I was really very downcast. That's the truth. Because I wanted to go to Ife because my dad went to Ife. So I got to the bus, going to Ibadan. So a woman just sat down. As she just sighed. As I looked at her, I just saw a vision. I was already not feeling bad. I was feeling really bad. So I just asked her a question. I said, are you going to church? She said, how did you know? I said, God just showed me. So I went further and I ministered to her. And you know the funny thing? As I dropped at the Ibadan, I still felt bad. Because the truth of the matter was, I was feeling bad. But it didn't change anything. Hallelujah. See, I refuse doubt and condemnation. Another thing is bad company. You know, you can have people that will make you, and you know something about evil communication is this. Their effect doesn't happen at once. The effect of bad company does not happen at once. Consistently listening to something and someone, you will be so surprised at something you said you will never do. If you consistently listen to it, you will do it. Anything you allow to stay around you long enough will get into you. I told the story in the first service of a preacher who just told me, you know, and he said to me, he said, I used to throw in the thing. I knew because he was in the university. I knew him then. He said, I'll throw in the Holy Ghost. He said, but I submitted my ministry to this particular preacher. A good man, no doubt. But the preacher wasn't given to the things of the spirit. In fact, not just that. He used to speak down on it. Like, his extremism. He said, I just found out that I couldn't flow again. He told me personally. He said, I couldn't. I said, I tried. I said, it's the company. If you consistently listen to somebody who doesn't flow with the spirit, you will not anymore. So he now asked me, what do I do? I said, what I'm going to do is that we're going to organize a meeting. That's the best way. Find a meeting and I'll a meeting for your church. So I got someone to come and preach for them and all that. But the point is, you will not know how bad things have gotten. You know, that's why I warn you. Never watch comedy skits that mock the church. It will have an effect on you. Never. I don't watch them. I don't see them. I don't even know them. Somebody, they now be using prophet, pastor, as comedy. No. It is the devil coming at you. You will start losing respect for the things of God. Because you've laughed over it. And don't forget, anything you mock, you can never attract. Even if you were just joking. Don't joke around the things of God. Don't joke around the power of God. Because you won't know when you need one. So, evil communication. Watch it. Stay around people who are on fire. Amen. Say, I watch my company. Now, what's laid on my heart to share with you, and we don't have much time, are the revelation gifts. Hallelujah. The revelation gifts. Now, the revelation gifts will mean that God will give you facts and information about events, people, places. God does that. Amen. He does it too often. The reason why many of us don't walk in it, we doubt. We are not sure. We think maybe it's the devil. We think it's our mind. No. Quit that thinking. God reveals things to you. Say, God reveals things to me. He does. He does. He does. Look at Samuel. 1 Samuel 3. You know, there's a pattern of scripture that you will see God revealing things to people. He revealed to Adam. He showed him who Eve was. He revealed to Noah. Noah knew what God was going to do. In fact, he revealed to Enoch. Enoch to Methuselah, to Lamech, his grandparents. That's Noah now. He revealed to Noah. He revealed to Abraham, Isaac, Jacob, even Agar, who was the concubine. He revealed things to her. Even Ishmael, Sarah, even the king who wanted to have Sarah, he showed up. Oh boy, how much more you and I, we have access to revelation. And I tell you this, in this season and more, we are going to walk in depth of revelation. From this service. Yeah, depth of revelation where You will hear things clearly. You will know things clearly. And it will help you to navigate life. One, it will help you to minister to people. It will help you to know what to do in helping others. Say, I have revelations from the Holy Ghost regularly. Say regularly. Say regularly. So God did it to Moses. Did it to Joseph. They saw things ahead of time. They knew things ahead of time. They saw it. They knew it. They heard it. They saw it. They knew it. They heard it. There are things I've known for years. There are things I've seen before. There are things I've heard. And I didn't even know as much as I know today. I'm still growing, okay? Still know very little anyway. There are things it's just of God to reveal things to you. Hallelujah. And when those things happen, you know, the gifts of the Spirit, revelation gifts, the word of knowledge. What's the word of knowledge? It means when God gives you a fact about a place, a people, an event. Word of knowledge will contain a fact, a noun, an event, the name of someone, the name of a place, the date of an event, something that has happened, something that someone did or wants to do, you know, the name of someone. He will tell you things like that. Why? So that you can minister to someone effectively. So that you can meet a need. There's a word of wisdom where he will do the same thing, but about the future. 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 Hallelujah. I know those things can rescue people. There was someone who went to see. Myself, Pastor Funke, and somebody else. Three of us. We'll check the person. So the person was heavily pregnant. Saw us off. As we were going, I just saw things. I saw, like, it's not difficult. When you know those things, when you see something, you just know, oh, this is what God is saying. So I told them, I said, she's going to have a tough time in having a baby. I said, well, we can handle it. God just showed me so that we know what to do. She actually was in labor for 2.5 weeks. Yep. The thing is that she didn't tell us. But I told the folks, I said, we're just going to pray. And we took time, we prayed. I said, the thing is, I told them that day, that was in 2003 or two, I think three. I said, she will have that experience, but she'll survive it. So we just prayed. So she came and said, do you know what happened? I said, I don't know about weeks that they even thought I was dead. We all looked at her and they all smiled. I said, I told them. If I said it that day, I'll have brought fear to our hearts. That's why it's not everything you see. You say, the Lord is showing me something. 2.5 weeks, 2.5 weeks. That's how you go and call panic and fear. But he will show. Sometimes it's to rescue people. Sometimes it's to just minister to people. Hallelujah. We have access to those things. We have access to those things. Look at 1 Samuel 3. Are you in church? In 1 Samuel 3, when God called out to Samuel, you know the first thing is that Samuel didn't know it was God. That's how some of us say, I don't even know. I heard something. Maybe it's my mind. Maybe. Be bold to say, I heard God. Hallelujah. Someone said, what if I miss it? You will get it. Amen. Don't start with doubt. Hallelujah. Samuel said, he ran to Eli. Eli says, no me. He said, lie down. I said, speak, Lord. Which means that I can get divine revelation by words. So Lord, I hear from you today. I receive revelation from you today. I receive the word of wisdom from you today. That's what Samuel did. When he said, speak, Lord, for your servant here. What happened? God spoke. Amen. Amen. Say today, by the Holy Ghost, I receive revelation from God. You know you are releasing your faith. Speak, Lord, your servant hears. Every time I minister, I'm sure God is going to tell me something. I don't have a doubt. Speak, Lord, your servant hears. And the word of the Lord came and stood right before him. So it wasn't just speak, Lord, your servant hears. The Lord now showed himself visibly to him. Hallelujah. In 1 Samuel 9, quickly. The same person, Samuel. for Psalm 9 and verse 15. Now, the Lord had told, look at it, are you there? He had told Samuel where? In his hair, a day before Saul came. Tomorrow before this time, I'll send thee a man of the land of Benjamin, and thou shalt anoint him to be captain over my people Israel. And he may save my people out of thine hand of the Philistines, sorry. For I've looked upon my people because of their cry is come unto me. So, he will give you information about somebody you didn't know before. He told him ahead of time. Now look at how it worked. Which means that revelation doesn't have to be something you will see. He didn't see it. He heard it. Hallelujah. Now notice what happened. Look at verse 17. Let's say 17 together. And when Samuel saw Saul, the Lord said to him, So he saw him. Which means that there are instances where you won't see the person physically. But the moment you say, that's the person. This is the fellow. He saw it. You know, that same thing happened to him in 1 Samuel 16. When he went to the house of Jesse. And he mistakenly, chose Eliab. That's why you see, never think a mistake disqualifies you. Every one of us, we have times where we can miss it. He thought it was Eliab. He didn't just think it was Eliab. He thought it was the other sons. God said, not this one. Not this one. Not this one. So, for some of us, the moment you give a word of knowledge, they say, it's not you. You say, hey, guess what? You know, he stayed until he got it right. Until he got it right. Those who say, no. Is it like, say, no? No? Are you sure? Think about it. No. Okay, let's just thank God. Let's just thank God. Hallelujah. Shall I yield myself to the things of God? I don't give in to doubt. As soon as David came, said, this is the anointing. That means there is a recognition that you have that comes from God. So it's not every time revelation is something you see, you can hear. Say, I see, and I also hear. Hallelujah. Seeing is also not, look at Ananias. Ananias was not an apostle, not a prophet. Acts 9. Jesus appeared to him. And you know, he didn't close his eyes. He said, hey, what is this? Jesus said, Ananias said, yes, I am here, Lord. Which means that it's something he is used to. In fact, he had the guts to argue with Jesus in the vision. So I'm giving to the things of God. Amen. Amen. Say today, I will function in revelation gifts to minister to someone, meet a need by the power of God and by revelation gifts. You ready? Are you sure? No, you have released your faith. You have released your faith. Let's just pray in tongues.